The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome into Morning Invest, your only progressive morning business show on the internet, where we cover the stories you won't see on mainstream media. We've got a bunch of big stories I'm following for you this morning, the things that are interesting to me this morning, and I think will be interesting to you. The stimulus. Where do things stand right now in Washington, now that the House of Representatives has had a few days to get back and go back to their offices and get their keyboards out and dusted everything off? So they are back. Have they made any progress? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about governors and states are begging for stimulus. We're going to listen to a couple of different governors and what their demands are right now, because they are crumbling. And not just Democrats. These are Republicans who are saying, stop playing politics. Get us stimulus money now. We are in desperate need of this. Also on the show, Nancy Pelosi reelected to majority leader. That will happen today. No one's even opposing her, so she's going to coast right through. So she'll be leader again after suffering all of these losses. So, hey, you lost a ton of seats with your strategy, and now you're put back in the majority leader position. So we'll talk about that and who they're pointing the finger at for all these losses, by the way, on the show. And if you need any proof, any more proof anyway, that the Federal Reserve is running everything, the central bank, just got to watch what happened yesterday as one of Trump's appointees was shot down by Republicans. Tell you about the power of the central bank and how it controls everything we do. We've got so much more on the show today. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor today, our friends over at Birch Gold. So many people ask me, how do I get my money out of this corrupt government banking system? Well, you just want to learn about this. This is where I'm able to buy precious metals and gold. This is, people ask me all the time, where do you buy it? Birch Gold is the place to go. And you can get a free kit, an info kit on gold, how to transfer your 401k, your IRA at no cost to you. Just go to morninginvest.com/gold right now and you get that free information kit. It's only for people in the United States. So if you're outside the United States, you might wind up with a blank page. So it's only for people in the United States, where you can order gold Eagle coins and precious metals. But go check it out. Get that free gold kit so you can learn more about it. Go to morninginvest.com/gold. Grover is here destroying a stuffed animal this morning. I think that's one of my kids' stuffed animals. They are not going to be happy when they get home from school, because that thing will be torn to shreds. But I'm doing a show, and I can't help that poor stuffed animal. So let's get into it today and talk about stimulus update. Let's start there, and coronavirus update. So stimulus update. There is none. And I'm not being crass. Literally, they're not doing a damn thing. The top Democrats and Republicans on Capitol Hill have not met for weeks. Nothing. No meetings. No phone calls, nothing. It's as if they're totally tone deaf to what the needs are of the American people right now and states' governors, which we'll get to in a second. Their current proposals that are sitting out there floating around in the ether are $500 billion from Mitch McConnell, who managed to make a speech yesterday that had nothing to do with the stimulus, by the way. I'll show you his speech in just a few minutes, but has nothing to do with the stimulus. He just won re-election and all of his big money donors got money, so he's fine. $500 billion on the GOP side, $2.2 trillion on the Democratic side. They aren't even in the same ballpark. President-elect Joe Biden, for his part, is calling on a $2.4 trillion stimulus plan, similar to the HEROES Act that was passed back in May. And he's saying, get it done now. Of course, he doesn't want to have to deal with arm wrestling over a stimulus package by the time he actually is inaugurated at the end of January. Get a stimulus package done now. Governors across the United States, though, are fired up about this. A number of different governors are now coming forward asking for federal help. And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans who are coming out. Here's from the Associated Press this morning. With more shutdowns looming and a vaccine months away from wide distribution, governors across the United States are pleading for more help from Washington ahead of what is shaping up to be a bleak winter. That's a lead story headline. Right? That's a lead story. Renewed restrictions on indoor businesses, overloaded hospitals, and the coming end of unemployment benefits for millions of Americans have led governors to paint a dire picture of months ahead unless the federal government steps in with more money and leadership to help them shore up their damaged budgets and beat back the resurgence of the coronavirus. Mitch McConnell basically saying the other day that, they want us to bail them out. You know, we're so far apart on the stimulus. Nancy Pelosi wants this blue state bailout. She wants us to fund money for these state and local governments that have nothing to do with COVID. And he's actually correct, but he's correct for all the wrong reasons. These states are bleeding money for simple services, for basic services like state unemployment offices. They can't pay those employees that work in state unemployment offices anymore. They're having to lay off non-workers that aren't necessarily tied to COVID because they can't pay for it. New Jersey, for instance, prosecutor's offices going after like nonviolent criminals. They've had to lay those people off or furlough those people. So it has reverberations across the governments. It's not just COVID related. So yes, Mitch McConnell, you're correct. But this isn't helping. These are essential services that people rely on. So you're having to lay off trash pickup workers? You're having to cut back on trash routes? Yeah, it's not COVID related. I get it. But these are the monies that are going to these basic services in these cities that we rely upon. So there are workers, according to the AP, on a conference call on Tuesday, Democratic governors from the Midwest, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers called for a sequel to the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act adopted back in March. He said, there are workers and families and farmers and small businesses that are going to need our help. And frankly, we can't do it alone. He says we need a robust federal support system to help our states and economies recover beyond the federal CARES funds that expire at the end of the year. Casey Kadams, who's a federal liaison for Washington Governor Jay Inslee, said the situation there is too dire for the state to wait until President-elect Joe Biden is sworn in on January 20th. We can't wait these 60 days for this to be done. In a news conference yesterday, Republican Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, he basically said everyone on both sides of the aisle in Washington needs to come together and finally get this done for the American people. And he warned Marylanders that their state, unless they heed these warnings, he's putting in some mandatory stay-at-home orders and some other things in Maryland, and restaurants and pubs and other places need to be closed at a certain hour. He said, look, unless we get this done, we are going to wind up looking like other states right now. This was Larry Hogan yesterday and had some dire warnings.
And this deadly virus will strengthen its grip on our state and our nation. Regardless of all the disinformation that's being spread all over social media, this is not the flu. It's not fake news. It's not going to magically disappear just because we're all tired of it and we want our normal lives back. We are in a war right now, and the virus is winning.
Ouch. And he's right. He's not the only governor. That's a Republican governor saying they need help at the federal level. And in Colorado on Tuesday, just look at these numbers out of Colorado. There's a state that's experiencing spikes right now. So take a look at your screen. These are all, any of these purple areas are these new per capita cases in the past week increasing. In a number of different counties, we've seen massive spikes in coronavirus cases. And you can see out there in Colorado, probably the biggest purple spot in the whole country right now is in Colorado. And so the governor there, Governor Jared Polis, a Democrat, said we need a special legislative session to craft a $220 million state virus-related stimulus measure. He said, even as cases have exploded across the country, Congress and the president have not yet passed much needed relief for people. Here in Colorado, we want to do what's best with what we have to take. We have to take care of our own people. So he's calling on a special legislative session in his own state to do what he needs to do. Because the federal government's asleep, just letting all of these states hang out to dry. I mean, just looking at these numbers is absolutely frightening. And seeing what's going on, I mean, just even looking down at, look at that, 2,000% increase in 14 days in Texas. All over Texas. All of these purple dots are increases. Louisiana, look at all of those hot spots. They just canceled Mardi Gras, by the way. That was a smart move. No one needs people, half drunk people throwing beads around all on top of each other in the French Quarter. And then, of course, there's out in Colorado, those massive spikes, 5,000% increase. And of course, the Dakotas are in deep trouble. So is Minnesota and other parts of the country. So no stimulus. And they're not talking. They haven't had any meetings. But the governors are demanding that they pass stimulus. Joe Biden calling for a $2.4 trillion stimulus and for them to act now on this. So we will keep our eye on that. Let me know your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below. Well, if you need any more proof that the Federal Reserve is running our country, just look what happened yesterday. Judy Shelton, who is President Trump's nominee for the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, was rejected. So here is, how many of you have been following this or not? I think it's an important story, though. Here is Judy Shelton. And she was rejected in a 50-47 vote on the Senate floor yesterday. Republican senators Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Lamar Alexander broke with party lines to block her. So in economic circles, Shelton's more controversial than just about anybody else because guess what? She supports the gold standard. She thinks that we should return to the gold standard. Oh my gosh, really? You mean we're going to take our government currency and tie it to something meaningful? You mean we're not just going to have paper currency that's not tied to anything the way it currently is? So in some ways, we wouldn't be able to print money ad nauseum?
Has there ever in history been a fiat currency that survived?
No. So for those of you listening and wondering what a fiat currency is, it's a government currency. No fiat currency in world history has ever survived. They've all collapsed, all of them. So what makes you think that the U.S. dollar will not collapse at some point? We see it happening before our eyes with a Federal Reserve that prints money like it's going out of style. I mean, would you want your savings tied to government currency, meaning you have your money in a crappy savings account? No, because again, your money today is worth less tomorrow because of inflation. But not only that, because the government basically has an unlimited amount of power to the federal banks. It has an unlimited amount of power to say, well, we're just going to make as much supply as we want. With gold, silver, there's a finite amount, right? They're not making any more. That's why governments are hoarding gold, because for 4,000 years, gold has been the standard. And then, of course, Nixon took us off of the gold standard. And that's when everything changed. Now our paper dollars aren't, they're worth the full faith and credit of the United States government. But what the heck does that mean? That means that they can print as much as they want. So she supports the gold standard. That's one huge reason why she was booted. It's pretty amazing to me. She also wants the Fed to be less independent. She thinks it has too much power. And so does President Trump. So I agree on this.
Well, if you look at it,
that's why they blocked her.
There's no oversight. There's no oversight whatsoever on the Federal Reserve.
Well, wait a minute. What about Congress? Right? They answer to Congress. Technically. Right? They're supposed to answer to Congress. I mean, that's what we hear from Fed Chief Jerome Powell all the time. It's like, I can't write, you know, I can't spend money. We're only allowed to provide borrowing capacity. We can't spend money here at the Federal Reserve. And we have to answer to Congress. Wink, wink. They're not elected. They run this country. So here, President Trump was trying to put someone on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors who wants a less independent Federal Reserve. That's like trying to put someone in the Pentagon who doesn't like war. Let's put somebody in the Pentagon who doesn't want to make cushy defense contractor relationships. Let's put somebody in the Pentagon who wants to name it not the Department of Defense, which is a joke, but the Department of Peace. Do you remember a number of years ago? I can't remember who ran on this idea that we should not call it the Department of Defense, but we create a Department of the Department of Peace. And all these Republicans and Democrats, too, laughed at them. You want to call it the Department of Peace.
But then we'd have to take away their guns.
Right. Let's call it the Department of War. So she gets blocked. And look, you might believe that it's... And so a lot of the headlines are like, you know, the Republicans tried to distance themselves from Trump. That's why they blocked her, because they didn't want, you know, they're trying to move away from Trump. You might believe those headlines, but it's not true. I love this. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden said, Shelton's ideas are so wacky and outdated. Giving her authority over the dollar would be like putting a medieval barber in charge of the CDC. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell can still bring Shelton's name up for consideration if he gets at least 50 votes together, but it's not likely. She was vying for one of two Fed Board of Governors seats. And, you know, the idea that she thinks that there's basically this allows this fiat currency with zero accountability to run amok. You know, they're creating this digital currency called the Fed Now digital currency, tokenized currency. And the way that it will be different, of course, than Bitcoin and others is that there won't be a finite amount. There won't be a finite amount in the way that we know that there's a certain amount of buying Bitcoin. And we know that the Federal Reserve wants to move to this tokenized currency. They don't want to be too far behind China, which is already doing it. This gives them even more power to move away from a paper-based currency and into a digital currency. If you don't think the Federal Reserve, I mean, it's amazing to me, literally not elected and has more power than Congress in many ways to drive monetary policy in this country. So she's controversial because she doesn't want the Fed to have this much power. That's where the controversy is. So, hey, you know, I supported President Trump on this. Get people in there who want to tamp down this power grab by the Federal Reserve. By the way, they even increased their power over the past few months, if you haven't been paying attention, and continuing to ignore Congress. Do you know that under their rules, they are not allowed to buy these junk bonds, these mortgage-backed securities? They're not allowed to do this stuff that they've been doing over the past few months during this pandemic. That's why Wall Street is so happy. They're just buying as many of these corporate junk bonds as they want. They're buying all these crappy mortgage-backed securities. Do you remember the mortgage-backed securities that got us into the 2008 mess? Yeah, they're just buying up this crap. All this junk on Wall Street. And that makes Wall Street happy. So it's taken out of rotation. And Wall Street can sell it. Make some good money. And who eats it up? The Federal Reserve.
Well, and that's the thing. How much you think of that $5 trillion that they sent to their friends revolves back to them, you know, in one way or another.
Right. Oh, of course. I mean, look at the public debt. So this is the federal debt. And if you look at the Federal Reserve, again, I pull up this chart because look in 2008, 2009, 10, when they took on all of that additional debt bailing out Wall Street. The problem is they never paid it off. So they kept it on their balance sheets and now they did it again. And it's, look how high it is. You think that that's sustainable? You know, David asked earlier, has any fiat currency ever survived? No. Just read Jared Diamond's book, Collapse. And this is what happens before a collapse of currency. There's just no wiggle room on debt anymore. All of that debt that they have on their balance sheets. And you want to put your money in a US dollar right now? So there you go. You have your complicit Democrats and Republicans saying, no, we want the Federal Reserve to be just as strong as it can possibly be and have as much power as possible. We will let them run rampant. buried under the controversy that she's tied to Trump. Right. Sure. Believe that. That's some fake news for you. That's some fake news for you. Got much more to get to here on the show. Did you see this story? President Trump, you know, President Trump ran on ending foreign wars. Remember when I was at Fox News years ago, I remember being blown away and supportive of the fact that he would get up there on stage and mock Jeb Bush for supporting the Iraq War, calling it one of the biggest disasters in American history, saying that George W. Bush was one of the worst presidents in American history, which I believe. Although he's sort of been given this nice patina of niceness over the past few years because he's down there in Crawford, Texas, painting pictures of dogs. And we all forget what he did in Afghanistan and Iraq, surrounding himself with Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, an absolute disaster. By the way, we're still in the wars that he started. So President Trump ran on this idea of getting troops home. And you know what? A majority of Americans support that. But you know who doesn't support that, of course, are the warmongers in the Pentagon and the defense contractors that make trillions of dollars off of us having these perpetual wars and never stopping. So President Trump is in a lot of hot water this morning. You know it's bad when Mitch McConnell comes out at the podium yesterday to slam President Trump for wanting to withdraw 2,500 troops from Afghanistan. Get them home before Joe Biden is inaugurated. He wants them home by January 15th. So these are just some of the mainstream media publication headlines. I just couldn't believe this. Alarm. As Trump cuts troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, senior Republicans and U.S. allies attack the plan. I love these different publications, too. Look at Sky News. Sky News, of course, which is a Rupert Murdoch-owned entity. He was, you know, they get paid by these guys, right? So look at this. Here's Sky News. Here's a Sky News broadcast yesterday. And this is with Michael Ware, who used to work at CNN. He was an embedded journalist. So he's a respected journalist who was on the front lines in Kandahar and Iraq and all of these places. He's a war correspondent, worked at CNN. Now here discussing this on Sky News, painting this grim picture of just how bad it'll be if we bring our men and women home from these war zones.
Announced this drastic troop reduction, particularly in Afghanistan. He said that this was a decision by the president, and he said the withdrawal will be prudent, well-planned, and coordinated. But it must be done 5 days before President-elect Joe Biden formally takes office and is inaugurated. Now, as someone who spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, I was there when the Taliban fell. My last, you know, roadside bombing was in Kandahar. Mm. This feels like imprudent surrender by an American president. And
imprudent surrender by an American president. We're surrendering to what?
You know, I think it's actually...
What are we doing there?
I think it's a brilliant move, because what will happen is, if this goes through and if he does withdraw troops, which I think is great, if he does that, that's great. But then Biden would have to justify sending them back if he ever had to. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to send back the troops, and they'd be like, why? And he'd have to justify it.
Right. And that's why they're trying to do it by January 15th. So he's making this big deal, Michael Ware, in that clip. He's saying, but 5 days before Biden gets in? Why would he have to do that? Joe Biden has said he doesn't want to reduce the... he wants to increase our military footprint in the Middle East. Make no mistake, you know, under Biden and Obama, the amount of increased wars in the Middle East that we faced, right? Let's talk about them, right? Libya. Let's talk about Yemen. Let's talk about voting for increases in defense budgets. So everyone is slamming President Trump for this. Not me. Mitch McConnell yesterday out at the podium. Oh, by the way, so here was my tweet yesterday. Let's see how, you know, Trump orders Pentagon to pull 2,500 troops. I tweeted, let's see how these warmongers in the Pentagon will try and stop this and simply reposition these troops on the chessboard. These endless wars make defense contractors rich. Because that's what they'll do. So we'll move, you know, he'll move 2,500 troops home. By the way, there's only 4,500 there. right? So there's 4,500 troops left there in this zone. He's going to bring 2,500 of them home in this, the longest war in American history. What are we accomplishing there? What are we accomplishing? We're a force for good around the world. We keep hearing how we need to stop these terrorists. Like the terrorists are coming for us. And we have more domestic terrorism. It has nothing to do with people coming from overseas and attacking us. It's we have plenty of homegrown terrorism to worry about. So we need to worry about the terrorists. Oh yeah. Or do you need to worry about, Mitch McConnell, the amount of money that you make from your campaigns and the amount of money that's been donated to you over the years from the likes of Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, and all of this? So Axios has an amazing piece out this morning tracking all of this. The defense industry worries about Biden. They titled it. But in a separate way that they sent this article out, it says defense industry loves the GOP. So I just want to go through some of these numbers here because I find them astounding. And no one else is going to talk about this. So let's talk about it. The Clinton administration, the four companies, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and General Dynamics, the heart of the defense industry in the United States, generated over $70 billion in the 12 months under the Clinton administration. Then, oh boy, George W. Bush comes in. It was like rain and money for these defense contractors, right? By the end of his term under Bush, those four companies had generated revenue that had risen 136% to $165 billion from the federal government funneling money to them for these wars, these endless wars.
Well, and let's not forget Halliburton during that time as well. They're not really a defense contractor, but they made out. Make it,
oh, yeah, BlackRock. I mean, these Blackstone, these other groups, was it BlackRock? These other
Blackwater?
Faux security. Blackwater. Oh, Blackwater. They didn't even make it in the top four. But yeah, you're right. Halliburton, of course. Dick Cheney. The Obama years, and think about this, rose 30% up to $211 billion under Obama. So when people say to me, Clayton, what do you mean nothing's going to change? What do you mean when you say that? Like, won't, if we vote for Biden, everything change? Do you see what I'm saying? It just keeps going up and up and up. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democrat at the helm of this. They're all paid for by these big companies. And they will continue these wars, especially when you have this entrenched military complex in the Pentagon. And then, you know, like I said, under Obama, up to a $211 billion. So Biden has indicated that he doesn't plan drastic cuts to the huge billions of dollars in budget for the Pentagon. But he did say in an interview, I don't think budget cuts are inevitable, but he said we need priorities. He said that to Stars and Stripes, the military magazine, back in September. Which, by the way, Stars and Stripes makes no money. And Trump, in an effort to, I think, shore up support among military members when it was about to be cut and ended after like 100 and some years as a publication for the military, the Pentagon announced it was going to be cut because it wasn't making any money. And it was, you know, and Trump stepped in and said, no, we're going to save that magazine. So we'll save that magazine. We'll save some money. We'll just funnel some more money at a magazine that no one reads and is losing money. But we can't save PBS. We can't save Big Bird. We can save a magazine no one reads, okay? The priorities include $3 trillion in non-defense spending, which puts pressure on Biden right now to shrink the Pentagon's budget. The defense industry is, though, banking on congressional Democrats, and they're hoping, of course, that they continue, that they win these races in Georgia, these runoff races. The four defense contractors are now collectively worth $304 billion. So that's down a little bit since February. And I have to say, in many ways, I think wanting to get Trump out of there is probably a big push somehow. You know, when people want to talk about the deep state is against him, et cetera. When these guys throw around as much money as they throw around, they can sway elections. Make no mistake about it. The amount of money that they donate to different campaigns to make things happen, to shake things up. They're not a fan of Trump because he wants to bring He wants to bring these people home. Yes, he did increase their defense budgets, but nevertheless, he wants to bring these troops home, and these warmongers in the Pentagon don't like it. So here was Mitch McConnell yesterday going against President Trump, slamming him basically for this move.
We're playing a limited, but important role in defending American national security and American interests against terrorists who would like nothing more than for the most powerful force for good in the world to simply pick up our ball and go home.
Yeah, because we need to be a force for good. A force. We need to force people. We need to be a force for good. That's how you win, right? You want someone to like you, force them.
They would love that. That's why last year, 70 senators, a bipartisan supermajority, voted for an amendment I authored. It acknowledged the progress made in Syria and Afghanistan, identified the risks that remain, and cautioned that precipitous withdrawal would create vacuums that Iran, Russia, and the terrorists would be delighted to fill.
70 senators on a resolution that I authored and stopped him from doing it. I've already shown you how much money these guys have made on their campaigns, donations from these big companies. It's shocking. It's a wonder that he's so supportive of these wars, this endless war. And they've managed to paint you, you know, it's really under George W. Bush, they managed to paint you as unpatriotic if you call attention to it. Clayton, you're unpatriotic. I've had people tell me that on Twitter. That's where people go to tell me things. You're unpatriotic. Okay. So, no, I care more about people than I do about this war machine. I care more about, I had someone this morning tweet me back and say, I talked about universal basic income. I talked about Medicare for all. I talked about having people home and actually paying their wages during a 4 to 6 week lockdown. And someone said, yeah, but how are we going to pay for it? Oh, I have an idea how you pay for it. You don't shovel $700 billion a year and more to these companies anymore. And you get us out of places we shouldn't be. How about that as an idea? And we can actually pay for our crumbling infrastructure in this country. Why are we complaining about roads that don't work, bridges that don't work, schools that have no money, teachers can't have to go home and buy their own supplies for their classrooms? School lunches made of processed crap food, and we're the fattest country in the world. Yeah, that's why I think we could reposition some money, don't you?
Well, and when did patriotism get tied to American exceptionalism, which is also what American, it's just, you know, there's a word that I'm looking for.
Starting under Reagan.
Yeah.
Well, I think it really, you know, Reagan, you know, this idea that we need to continue to build as many nuclear weapons as possible. We need to increase our stock, you know, our stockpiles of nuclear weapons because we're going up against the Russian bear, you know? And we need to be a force for good around the world to stop the spread of communism.
American supremacy. You know, that's what I was trying to say.
Force for good. American supremacy. Yeah, we need to be a force for good. That's how you win people over. Hearts and minds, right? This is the George W. Bush. We need to win the hearts and minds. So here's how you win the hearts and minds. Kill civilians, which is what they did. Kill civilians in their country because people love that. That's how you win hearts and minds. I think Daenerys learned that the hard way in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people don't even realize because it's like it's not on the media. Nobody's reporting on it. But in those drone strikes, like 90% of the people that are killed in those drone strikes are innocent kids, mothers, aunts, mm-hmm. uncles. And if they're a certain age, they're deemed militants. You know, if they're like, what, 13 or something, they mm-hmm. consider that a militant or a target. But
Oh, you're not allowed to talk about that, David. You can't talk about this stuff.
That's right. I'm sorry.
You're not allowed to talk about this stuff. Don't bring this up. Because we like our cognitive dissonance. You know, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff. You're not allowed to bring up the fact that these drone strikes, you know, inordinately kill civilians. You're just being unpatriotic. How do you know that they weren't sleeping with guns under their beds, underneath their stuffed animals? But it's brilliant, you know, it's brilliant marketing. It's brilliant. it's sort of that Toby Keith, you know, we're going to put a boot up your ass mentality. Yeah, you got a 9-year-old who's in that bunker with you. You're using them as a human shield. We're going to blow up that 9-year-old too. We'll put a boot in your ass.
Well,
it's
American
exceptionalism.
They specifically, you know, make sure now that they don't show the casualties of war. Like, remember Vietnam? People protested because they would show the caskets. They would show people coming home, you know, in the planes and caskets. And people protested, but they're like, well, we can't do that again. So now you don't see anything on the casualties of war, even on our own side, because they don't want you to know exactly what's going on over there.
Right. Yeah. You have to, you know, Dover Air Force Base, you have to stay back. But you know what you can do, though, is put a yellow ribbon around your tree. And every night on the nightly newscast during the Vietnam War, there was the body count, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the name of the dead every night. So every day, people after dinner watching their nightly news or before dinner were seeing this, like people they knew. And now it's just this sanitized, everyone just goes on about their lives. And if some, you know, it pops up every now and again where someone says, hey, do you know we've been in war for 19 years in Afghanistan? You're like, what? Like, I know, really? 19 years? Like, I didn't even have a family at that point. You know, my son's 10 years old. My son, the other day, I was talking about this. He said, wait a minute. He said, I'm 10. You mean there's a war that's older than me? Yeah. And I can't even tell you what it's about anymore. I couldn't tell you what it was about at the beginning, and I can't tell you what it's about now.
Well, and think about the kids over there.
Why do we have so many people there?
There's kids over there that have grown up with all they've known is war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we think that they're not going to hate us. Like they're not going to, like we've created these terrorists, if anything.
Yeah, or, you know, just keep building military bases. Dad, why is there a giant American military base in our backyard and they keep, they drive around our neighborhood and kick in doors on a regular basis? You don't think that breeds resentment? Mitch.
There's no American who does not wish the war in Afghanistan against terrorists and their enablers had already been conclusively won.
Oh, yeah, except you and your band of merry senators that want to keep it going.
But that does not change the actual choice before us now. A rapid withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan now would hurt our allies and delight the people who wish us harm.
They'd be delighted. They wish us harm because we're there.
Exactly. And why do they wish us harm? We use that analogy. Like, what would we do if somebody came and built a base here, right? And they were killing our people under the auspice of spreading peace and democracy. And anybody that stood against them, they labeled terrorists. I mean, right. if we put the shoe on the other foot, the way that we would react is exactly how they're reacting.
I mean, you know, I'm not trying to justify what Osama bin Laden said. But his main argument for what they did, attacking us, was the base in Saudi Arabia. It was us continuing to force ourselves on other countries.
Well, and like,
it can be this endless war.
It's the same thing with North Korea. The reason that a lot of these countries want nuclear weapons is because it's that they feel like it's a protection from us.
Right. And they're never going to use them, by the way. I mean, the brilliance of getting a nuclear weapon is that you don't use it. It now just puts you at the table. Now you're one of the big boys. You know, Iran, North Korea. It's what, you know, why India, for crying out loud. India doesn't plan to use it, but they want to be able to sit at the table. It's a deterrent, as they like to say. And the fact that, you know, now since we pulled out of the Iran nuclear agreement, they've had like a 22% increase in the amount of nuclear materials stockpiles in Iran. So we pull out of that. That's something that Joe Biden could do on day one when he gets inaugurated, is to get back into a nuclear agreement with Iran. and get these inspectors who are right able to go right back in and get them to remove these nuclear materials again.
You know, I want to address a comment. So Rodrigo Gomez is saying, wake up, Clayton. We have COVID and Trump as more important problems at the moment. So focus. But the thing is, you guys don't realize that the money that could be going to help with COVID, to help you in this situation, is going to fund war. That's why this is an important topic.
That's why I bring it up constantly. I mean, every once or twice a week, I talk when someone asks me, yeah, but Clayton, how are we going to pay for it? How would we pay for universal basic income? Or how would we pay for increasing Social Security benefits for people that need it? How would we pay? Here's how you pay. You get these jokesters out of power who are bought and sold by the military-industrial complex and big energy and big corporations that want to continue to enrich those people and say, and hurting Americans. These people, this guy.
Violence affecting Afghans is still rampant. The Taliban is not abiding by the conditions of the so-called peace deal.
Okay, yeah, there's violence in Afghanistan. Have you been to America lately? Have you seen what's happening in the United States lately?
The consequences of a premature American exit would likely be even worse than President Obama's withdrawal from Iraq back in 2011, which...
I love that this guy comes out of hiding, comes out of his coffin. And you have all of these governors complaining about lack of federal stimulus money right now to help them as as the United States is collapsing. He goes out to his podium to make a speech on Afghanistan. I could go on and on about this, but I won't, because we've got other news to get to. But let me know in the comments what you think about this. Should we be ending these wars? Should we be bringing these soldiers back home and cutting this defense budget so that we can actually reapportion that money back home to help people? Let me know in the comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel and smash that like button. Really, really important for the YouTube algorithm.
Well,
sorry, Nancy Pelosi.
Sorry, just one more thing on the... Go ahead. So a lot of people don't realize that we spend 10 times more than all the other superpowers combined on, you know what I mean? So like, just think if we only spent, if you're going to have a war machine, you could spend take five times of that money and we'd still be, you know, basically what we are over there, a threat. We just wouldn't have to spend so much money.
Well, we had a 20% increase in the defense budget last year. For what? 20% increase in the defense budget? And we're worried about Social Security being solvent in 15 years? That we're going to have to raid the general fund to pay for things? And yet we can find the money for a 20% increase in the defense budget? How many aircraft carriers do we need? You know, people want to pinpoint moments when societies decline. This is it. Drunk on your defense spending money and you wonder where things went wrong. You can watch it happen right in front of your eyes. Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi, shall we? Nancy Pelosi today will be reelected as the Speaker of the House after losing a number of seats. So she gets rewarded by losing a number of seats and holds on to her majority barely. And how do you reward that in the Democratic Party? You nominate her again. And by the way, no one ran against her. So she's like sailing right through the House of Representatives. So corporate Democrats, once again, got the presidential nominee they wanted, along with control over a huge campaign ad budgets, and now nationwide messaging to implement these moderate strategies. And they're going to use it in Georgia. So make no mistake about it, they are pointing their fingers for their losses at progressives. And it got heated on a conference call the other day. So Nancy Pelosi flows right through. But on this conference call the other day, things got really out of control because centrist Democrats lashed out and blamed the far left for their views for costing the party seats, which is a total pile of garbage. But we'll get there in a second. So here is Abigail Spanberger. There she is. She's a Democrat from Virginia. She's a former CIA operations officer who has led her, she led this charge in a 2-hour conference call the other day, attributing the losses by moderate members of the of the Democratic Party to GOP attack ads, tarring them as socialists and accusing them of wanting to defund the police. She says the ads were made possible by the rhetoric from progressive lawmakers. So she's blaming progressives for actually supporting programs and policies like Medicare for All, universal health care, free public college, universal basic income, reapportioning the military state of our police forces. Not, you know, because again, this is that whole culture war where you get to say when you mean defund the police, you don't mean actually getting rid of police departments. What you mean is, why are we spending as much money now as we're spending on the military and our police departments? Do they need armored tanks? Do they need massive SWAT teams? Why are we giving tanks to police departments now? Why don't we hire more actual police officers rather than all of this heavy armored equipment and et cetera? So that's the argument. It's not about ending police forces necessarily. It's also about doing more community-based policing programs. Anyway, not to go down the defunding police route, but there's a number on the environment. The list goes on and on, these progressive ideas that guess what? A majority of Americans support. So 72% of voters favor transition to a government-run healthcare plan. 72%. That was a Fox News exit poll, by the way, asking both Republicans and Democrats, do they support this? 72% said that they supported transitioning to government-run healthcare. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn delivered a message similar to Spanberger's the other day, warning on this private conference call. I love that this private conference call has now gone public, by the way. We get to hear all of these moderate Democrats whining about how they, how the reason they lost seats is because of progressives that actually won. That's what I love about it, is that the progressives that actually ran on those platforms actually won. Like Prima Jayapal, who I've featured here on the show before, she says, don't be so quick to blame the progressive members who have been responsible for energizing these groups who will ultimately save the day for the race to the White House. So the reason that they won the White House in Philadelphia and Detroit and other places is because of progressives. It's because Bernie Sanders tried to get out there and get people to vote. It's because AOC was driving people to the polls. It's because Chuck Rocha, who, you know, worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign and drove so many Latinos in a way that we'd never seen before for any major party candidate, helped get Joe Biden elected. But it turns out it didn't trickle down to those down ballot candidates. So they voted for Biden because they just couldn't stand Trump. Maybe more of a referendum on Trump. And then down ballot, they voted for like Republicans. So they didn't just pull the lever and go all blue. They voted for Biden and they're like, no, I don't really like this moderate Democrat who's full of crap. I'm going to stick with this person over here, this Lindsey Graham over here and Mitch McConnell over here and et cetera. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, who, by the way, he couldn't rally his state to vote Lindsey Graham out of office. So he needs to be one telling us what to do, right? So he says, if we are going to run on Medicare for All, defund the police, socialize medicine, we're not going to win. Despite all the data that shows he's wrong. And those exit polls that show that a majority of Americans support that. So a number of members of Congress are now pushing back against this and saying you're full of crap. So this is the coming war right now between progressives in true progressives, not faux progressives or faux-gressive, as I'll now we're calling them. None more forcefully or eloquently than Rashida Tlaib, the Michigan congresswoman who just won her second term in one of the nation's poorest districts. Okay. She's progressive. She was the most outspoken. She's a member of the squad, by the way. She was the most outspoken against an anti-progressive pylon during this November 5th phone call. She continues to hold a shining lantern of progressive principles, writes the Nation. Tlaib has pointed out that Democratic candidates in swing districts who openly supported progressive policies like Medicare for All and the Green New Deal won their races.
Well, then you have Democrats.
So these people, these progressives that ran on this platform won.
You have Democrats that are wondering, how in the world do we increase our base? And you know they have access to the same polls that show that 72%+ of Republicans want Medicare for all.
Right. Yeah. Well, what about the 100 million people that don't vote? So instead of trying to go after the Trump voters, right, which I saw an article this morning talking about Joe Biden, this is going to be his biggest problem is, you know, trying to convince Trump voters on COVID-19 via a vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, but there's still 100 million other people that just didn't vote, that don't support either party and are so sick and tired of it because there are all these platitudes. And you know what? When you have these progressive candidates for the first time that are standing up there saying things that we haven't heard before, hey, we've got to make major changes in the environment or we are going to, this country is going to collapse into the water. We've now had the most named hurricanes we've ever had, barreling towards America once again, devastating Central America. You don't think that there's a problem? Arctic National Wildlife, you know, there was a, I put this in the newsletter the other day and it was fascinating. This couple who goes up into the Arctic every year, they do this trek up there. This is the first year that they usually would have to take an ice breaking vessel to get through all of the ice. You can never get through without one of those ice breaking ships. It's the first year they went up there. They said they didn't even put on their long johns. It was so warm. They didn't even need to use their ice breaking vessel anymore. It's all just melting. Tlaib pointed out that Democratic candidates in swing districts who openly supported progressive policies won their races. She said, "We're not going to be successful if we're silencing districts like mine. Me not being able to speak on behalf of many of my neighbors right now, many of which are black neighbors, means me being silenced. I can't be silent." And apparently, according to Politico, she started almost crying on the phone during this conference call. She choked up as she expressed frustration. At the end of the interview, she said, "If voters can walk past blighted homes and schools closing and pollution," meanwhile, she's in Michigan, right, where we know, like, the governor basically poisoned their people in Flint, "vote for Biden-Harris. When they feel like they don't have anything else, they deserve to be heard. So if these people actually vote for Biden and Harris, they deserve to be heard." So I can't believe that people are asking them to be quiet. She said in an email later to supporters, "We've got to focus on working class people. We are done waiting to be heard or prioritized by the federal government. I won't let leaders of either party silence my residents' voices any longer." And this is the most important point of this whole nation piece, by the way. Quote, "While satisfying their impulses to blame the left for their centrist failures, corporate Democrats and their mildly progressive enablers inside and outside of Congress are striving to paper over their basic fault lines," which is what you were talking about, David. I mean, it's the idea that instead of trying to expand your base, you're just trying to paper over the, you know, the failures of the past, pretending that you'll do anything for people, playing lip service and platitudes during election season, but going right back to doing this kind of crap, which is, you know, like this, like Mitch McConnell.
Fueled the rise of ISIS and a new round of global terrorism.
Right. Yeah. So you gotta increase our defense budgets, support foreign wars, because the rise of ISIS will be back. Or you could go the opposite direction, like I believe, which is end these foreign wars, get the heck out of there, stop spending so much money on defense, we don't need it, and start reinvesting that money back home. The fact that we can't even have a meaningful discussion on stimulus, because Mitch McConnell's time is tied up too much in doing this kind of crap.
It would be reminiscent of the humiliating American departure from Saigon in 1975.
Yeah, because the Vietnam War was a good idea. So we don't want to be embarrassed like that again. Bringing people home after a nation was on fire in protest, about tens of thousands of Americans being killed in a war that we shouldn't have been in the first place. We don't want to be embarrassed like that again? Did he really just say that? Ugh. So Nancy Pelosi is back. Reelected Speaker of the House, goes back to centrist positions for a party that lost a number of seats and barely holds on to power.
Come on, man.
There you go. Sorry, Joe. Got to keep it real. Let me know your thoughts on Nancy coming back. Drop me a comment below and make sure you subscribe to the channel. Don't forget, our friends over at Birch Gold. Go to morninginvest.com/gold right now to protect your retirement savings. Get your money outside of this corrupt government banking system. Just go to morninginvest.gold right now to get your free info kit on gold. No cost to you or obligation to you. You'll learn about it. It's 20 pages long, totally free. You can learn how to start. You'll actually be buying actual gold coins, by the way. They'll ship them right to your house. So Birch Gold is a great way to do it, but you have to use our link to get that free guide and get started today. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your super chats, by the way. That's super chat from.
Yeah, we have one from Source Awareness. How may I serve? Peace movement would be very helpful at this time. Reminiscent of what Kennedy said, asking ourselves what we may do for our country and then taking action that is inspired by that focus.
Right. And so the sad part is that we have a lot of, you know, young people who want to provide that type of service, you know, who want to help the environment. I see it in, like, in young kids and you know, who really care. I remember the reason I think maybe I'm more passionate about the environment than maybe our older generation. I learned about it in school, you know, we had to learn about recycling programs and what it was doing to our oceans and things. And because I got that in school, I care about it. And now I see it in action. I see it on plastic, on beaches, and just, you know, I see it in my kids. But if you don't have that federal support, you don't have that support in Congress, you don't have the support in the White House, that's when we have to rise up and demand it. That's when we have to take it over. That's when we have to have an awareness. We have to have a how may I serve coup. Throw these bums out and say no more. No more will I be bought and sold by these guys.
So Tammy Gibbs is asking, can you discuss the Biden lockdown, which has implicated it will be 4 to 6 week lockdown? What can we expect from the lockdown? What do you think will be essential workers, grocery, etc.?
I mean, essential workers arguably won't change. It'll still be grocery, you know, trash services. It'll be all of those essential services that were deemed during the first time we had. The problem is we never really had a full lockdown. And of course, that's what Neil Kashkari has talked about, the Federal Reserve. We've never had a full lockdown. It's been piecemeal. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, Joe Biden had, there's been talk from his team, Dr. Osterholm and others on his COVID task force that he believes a 4 to 6 week lockdown that would have wages paid for by the federal government. Stay home, you know, and stay home at the end of January. Make sure that these essential services are taken care of. Make sure that the hospitality workers, make sure that the hotels and restaurants are taken care of so they don't have to close down permanently. That's the argument from Dr. Osterholm and others, which is do it right this time. Do it right where we make sure that they don't have to close their doors for good. Support them. Everyone just go home, like a mandatory sabbatical. Get off the streets. Social distance. But there is some new data this morning actually suggesting that social distancing and those type of guidelines may even be more powerful than a lockdown. That if we put our attention on social distancing and exercise, that is actually in many ways more important than just everyone staying home. Because then you're just all on top of each other at home. And so the idea is that if you can be out, you know, sitting 6 feet away from a friend, enjoying some fresh air outside, but your social distancing may actually be more effective than being indoors locked down. So some new data emerging. We'll have to see what his task force comes up with. But those are some of the preliminary ideas that there would be a 4 to 6 week lockdown. And if Dr. Osterholm gets his way, pushing the federal government to pay for wages of those people who are home, extending unemployment benefits through a mandatory lockdown, mandatory masking and PPE and all of these different businesses. So we don't know. You know, he's not the president yet, but these are some of the things we've been hearing about early on. Hey, Shelly Cali girl, you figured out yesterday, I remember she was having her name was not green in the chat, and now you're able to chat. So was it, were you signed into a different account? I'm curious. Let me know. Thanks to all of our channel members, by the way. We have four new channel members today. If you'd like to become a channel member, because we do our members-only chat now because it just gets so out of hand. Thank you for your support. You're supporting independent journalism, covering the stories that you won't hear anywhere else. I'd like to see some of these other networks cover, like, the stories we talked about today with Nancy Pelosi and the military. Good luck finding that anywhere. So thank you so much for your support. By you supporting our show, that means we can continue to do this type of show, bringing you the business stories that I think matter to you and your family, investing in you. So morninginvest.com/join is how you can become a channel member. So we have four new channel members today. Thank you so much. Plus you, how many of you are using those Grover emotes, by the way? I'm going to put up a little Grover emote.
You know, it's funny too, because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you watch these YouTubers and stuff doing their live streaming and stuff. It actually costs money to do the show. So, you know, you're helping cover those costs. It's like, we don't have the $1 million ad budget that Fox and CNN and all them have. It's independent. So it's all financed by Clayton.
Exactly. And I have to decide, like, okay, can I afford to buy this lens for the show or this light, you know, to make the show better for you as an experience. And so, making sure that I've got the right software and making sure the bandwidth is correct. Like, I have to pay for the bandwidth. So I have to pay for the most expensive internet service so that we have crystal clear, you know, bandwidth here. So hopefully it doesn't get choppy. Can't always make it that way. It's not up to me sometimes, but you know, all of those things cost money. So,
and some people are asking what's the difference between a subscriber and a member? So a subscriber is when you click the subscribe button on the channel, right? That just means you're going to get notified when Clayton posts a video or when the channel puts out a live stream or whatever. A member is actually where you join, and YouTube has this thing where you pay a monthly fee and the channel gets a percentage of that. So YouTube gets a percent and the channel gets a percent. So that's the difference. So as a member, you're actually paying a monthly fee, and it's as low as $1.99 a month. So it's like a cup of coffee, one cup of coffee for a whole entire month to be able to chat.
Yeah.
And we kept it that low because we understand that times are tough right now.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, it's just like, I'm sure many of you have heard of Patreon. So, well, I have a Patreon also, but this is really like in kind of in place of the Patreon. It's built into YouTube. It just makes it easier, I think, because it's built right in right here for you to become a channel member. And by the way, when you become a channel member, I think your name pops up right here on the screen, doesn't it?
Yep.
Let's see who will be the first new channel member.
Primal Ooh. Plasma. Wait, that's
Primal
a name.
Primal Plasma.
Primal Plasma.
Primal Plasma. That's a great name. Thank you for becoming a new channel member, Primal Plasma. I appreciate it. Grover, thanks you also. Yes, I'm talking to you, buddy.
I think I'm just going to start interrupting you when those happen and just saying that, like,
Primal Plasma.
I like it. I want to do, you know, I love how if we can get the little Grover thing to pop up. I would love that. Like, there's like a little Mexican hat dance. Even though he's not a Chihuahua. Let me see if we had any new people send in their merchandise photos. We have our store, by the way. You can support the channel by also going to our store. So by the way, let me ask you this right now. All of you watching, let me ask you this. Are you guys subscribers of our newsletter? There's over 5,000 of you watching right now, right? Come on over and subscribe to our newsletter. We're trying to break a record. We're trying to get to a number of subscribers by the end of the week. It was my goal, personal goal. We deliver it to your inbox first thing in the morning. So I'm begging you. It's totally free. You won't spend a dime. And you'll get news delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning that my wife and I work very hard writing this newsletter every day. And you can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee. We try to make it funny, but also covering stories you're not going to see anywhere else. You know, cover big business stories, cover interesting health and cultural stories as well. Stories that are really of interest to us that you're not going to get a lot of coverage other places. And it's delivered to your email inbox first thing in the morning. Totally free. Morninginvest.com is the website. Let's see how many, if 5,000 of you right now go over to the website and see if we can crash the website. I like to do this to my developer who handles the back end website stuff.
All right, we just
he
got
sends
several.
Me a text. He's like, try it. So go over to the website and subscribe. Morninginvest.com. Become a subscriber to the newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. Sometimes we'll do a preview of what we're going to be talking about on the daily live show here every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. But we cover stories that sometimes we don't even cover right here on the show. So sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, we're not going to do this every time, every day. But since I said we were going to do it, we've got some other members that just signed up and I think they did it so they could hear their name. So I'm going to do it really quick.
Mark Goodwin. Rocco Jacinka, welcome to the membership.
Thank you. You sound like one of those, what is the big truck?
Optimus Prime.
Before COVID, you know, at the, like, where you go to an arena and there'd be like the big dirt track car.
Oh, yeah.
Smashing, what are those things like?
Monster truck rally.
Yeah, monster truck. Come on out to the Farmers Arena.
Sunday.
We're Mobilizer. We'll crush Death Eater. Bring the kids. Sunday.
Hey, people are missing your Mitch McConnell impression, by the way.
Oh, man. God, this guy.
We'd be abandoning our partners in Afghanistan, the brave Afghans who are fighting the terrorists and destroying the government's
Turtle Boy
leverage in their talks with the Taliban, designed to end the fighting.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to keep fighting because I get paid by these guys. Okay.
Oh, make my skin crawl.
Ugh. Rositas Reborn Nursery, welcome.
Welcome. Optimus Prime, I loved. What's his name that does Optimus Prime's voice?
Well, it sounds like Liam Neeson. It's not him, but I always thought it was Liam Neeson because it sounds just like him, but it's a, just a, I think that's all he does.
I think that's all. Mm-hmm. He was a voice actor. Let me see if I can. He showed up at, He showed up and surprised people at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I love his voice. He was in the Transformers movies, but of course in the 80s, he was the voice of and Predator as well. Mm-hmm. He was the voice of Optimus Prime and Predator. It is Peter Cullen, that's right. So he showed up at, let's see. Yes, he showed up at Comic-Con and just got on the microphone and just like made an announcement. And people were like, what? Because, you know, his voice is so unmistakable, so recognizable. Let me see if I can play this here.
The Predator. Your credit is special vocalizations by Peter Cullen.
How did that happen?
We got echo.
I have just done 11 reels of King Kong. And all that stuff. And I started to cough up blood. And blood from King Kong.
Okay.
So they showed me a silver
streak. So that's Peter Cullen. All right. Well, I got to run. I've got a meeting. Much love to all of you. Thank you guys for watching the show today. We're back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time, live. And don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter at morninginvest.com. You can do that. Really appreciate that. Grover says bye. Come on over, buddy. Grover says goodbye. Thank you so much for watching. Be kind. You don't like my Mitch McConnell, do you? Much love to everyone. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye-bye.